My guest this morning is Kim Adams, Director of Choral Activities at Western Michigan University. And school's not quite out of session, and you haven't jetted off to the French Riviera. In fact, you're looking to have a great deal of fun here in Kalamazoo next week. And it's not just with Western personnel. You're inviting the whole community for a sing.
Yeah, so we're doing what's called a summer sing, and the entire community is invited to come out to this. And this is an event where, with no rehearsal and no formal performance, the audience is the choir. And so the work we've chosen for our summer sing next week is Mozart's Requiem. And so it's a really cool event. Summertime is a time when a lot of church choirs aren't running. The community choirs have finished their seasons. Clearly, school is out.
Everyone goes to the French Riviera,
everyone,
right?
Yeah. Or at least over to Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
But for those of us that are still in Kalamazoo and want to sing, this summer sing is a great opportunity for people to have a low-key, casual music-making experience. And, you know, some of us want to sing Mozart's Requiem for fun. You know, some of us haven't sung it in maybe 10 years or maybe ever and want the opportunity to. Just last month with the Kalamazoo Bach Festival.
Yeah.
And so, by the way, Bach Festival singers, you're invited, especially since you know it.
Yeah, yeah.
it's a fun opportunity to sing these great masterworks in a low-pressure circumstance. So what happens is the audience comes on in and you bring your own score, or you bring an iPad, and we have links to free scores online, or you can rent a physical score from us for $5. And we have an accompanist, we have a conductor, we have soloists made up of Western Michigan University distinguished alumni and current students. And we'll spend approximately half an hour singing through some of the tougher passages. And then after a short break, we run the whole piece.
Mm.
So the first run through is the performance.
Have you conducted a summer sing or an event kind of like this before?
No, this is actually my first summer sing. I've conducted Mozart Requiem before, but of course with an entire semester's worth of rehearsals. So this is going to be a really fun experience for everyone involved, including me.
Does this sort of activity harken back to activities from 100 or 200 years ago?
Well, I like to think so. You know, as of late, I think that when it comes to music making, people consider it almost like a professional activity. If you are going to participate in a concert, which has to be a public event and has to be high quality, you have to spend months in rehearsal to prepare for it. And very rarely do people spend months in rehearsal and then not present a public concert. And this idea of music making for fun, that we can just get together and enjoy singing together without the pressure of a public performance with expensive ticket prices, is I think that it is sort of an old idea. I've always wanted to be one of those families at Christmas time that gathers around the piano and just sings for fun. Mm-hmm. And in fact, my family does do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of brings back that idea that we can just get together and enjoy music for what it is without it being a high pressure, high stakes event.
Yeah, I think that's the hurdle to get to jump over and realize you have to trust yourself to a certain degree. I mean, if you show up having not heard or seen it or sight read it or anything, you'll still follow those melodies.
Mm-hmm.
You can even guess sometimes where the melody is going to go. And
yeah.
And even if you're not sure, just listen to your neighbor, and that feeling of music and creation will kind of grow regardless of how polished you think you are.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Music is, in a lot of ways, it's very intuitive. And it's our own insecurity, I think, that gets in the way of us being able to enjoy it and even be good at it. You wouldn't believe how many people say to me, well, I would join choir, but I'm not good enough. And I think that's just sad, because everybody can sing. And even if your singing is not amazing, as long as you enjoy it, that's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
But I also hear people say that they would love to join choir, but they don't have time to commit to rehearsals. And I think that this kind of event is wonderful for all of the musicians out there that just can't devote several hours every week to joining a choir. Please come sing. Let's do a requiem.
So where is this gathering going to be held?
Well, this is going to be on Western's campus at the Dalton Recital Hall.
Oh, great. Okay. And you're conducting.
I am.
You said accompanist, mm-hmm. So we'll have keyboard accompaniment to the, mm-hmm. to the requiem.
We will.
And your soloists are chosen from your student soloists.
Students and some selected alumni, too, that are coming back. So our accompanist is Ahmed Ansaldua, who graduated from Western this year with a Master of Music in Choral Conducting and who is just a phenomenal pianist and accompanist. And so we're really excited to have him at the helm where the piano is.
Maybe we should mention that he also has a solo recital coming up on Sunday as his farewell to Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. Ahmed is, a lot of people know Ahmed and have heard his great music making. So if you have a chance to hear his final recital before he goes off to doctoral school.
Yeah, he's been such an important figure in the Kalamazoo musical community for the last 4 years. So I think it'd be great if people came out to hear his recital this coming Sunday. And also, let me just point out that he's preparing a recital and Mozart Requiem for performances in the same week. But yeah, he's going off to do a doctorate at the University of Minnesota in conducting.
Wow. Well, maybe he'll come back again because it'll be hard to let him go.
We sure hope so.
Again, the Summer Sing is at 7 p.m. on Thursday. And if you come a little early, there's a chance to get your music and be registered.
Absolutely. So we're starting registration at 6:30. And that just means that you come, show up, let us know, you know, what voice part you are and if you need a score. And it helps us get everybody in place so that we can start right at 7. And we have it's a suggested donation of $5 and then $5 to rent a score from us. And which, of course, needs to be returned. But we'll also have instructions for you in terms of if you want to bring an iPad, in terms of downloading the score and being able to view it for free online. And all the proceeds from this concert go to directly benefit students when the choirs tour.
So why the Requiem? Why? I mean, yes, it's beautiful, but it's also Mass for the Dead.
Well, Mozart Requiem is an iconic piece. We hear it in commercial soundtracks and movies. There's even, you know, there's Amadeus, that famous movie about the piece. Mm-hmm. There's a great story behind it. And it's also a great sing. At least the parts of the Requiem that Mozart wrote himself. And we know that he didn't write the entire piece in that he died while writing it. The parts that Mozart wrote are so vocally gracious to sing. Mm. And I think that that's another part of having fun when you sing, is singing music that feels good. So even though it's dramatic and it's powerful and it has moments of great angst and also moments of beautiful peace, we feel good while we sing it too. So it's a great work.
I had a memorable discussion on the piece with Andrew Kohler and Jim Turner last month. And I remember Andrew saying that you can feel or hear Mozart's fear of death, maybe. He's grappling with this sense of doom that seems to come through in the music. But there is also that reaching for grace and sheer beauty, of course, that you can't escape if it's Mozart, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's a great Peter Davies article that talks specifically about Mozart's death process. And so the author theorizes that Mozart was dying of kidney disease and that one of the effects of that was that his brain was affected and he became very depressed and very angsty. And so when this Requiem was commissioned by Count Walsegg, and he commissioned it for his wife, of course, under the stipulation that no one know that Mozart wrote it. He wanted everybody to think that he had written it himself.
My eyes are rolling.
Just love the duplicity in that.
Yeah.
Mozart felt that this strange commissioner had actually commissioned him to write his own Requiem. And this was in the sort of, I would say, like, paranoia and depression inside Mozart's head. And so there are, at least in some academic accounts, there is some reason to believe that Mozart did feel that this was his own requiem, and he felt that he would die upon its completion. Now, he was wrong in that he died before it was completed. but I think that that sense of paranoia and depression and anxiety and kidney disease combined with his musical genius is this incredible inspiration. And so, yeah, you do feel the pull of all of this, you know, in these movements that Mozart wrote. Now, the only movement that he wrote completely himself is the first, the Introitus.
Meaning what?
Meaning that he had written out the vocal parts, the text underlay, and the full orchestration for that movement. Most of the other rest of the Requiem was sketched out by Mozart.
Meaning what parts were
meaning there? Meaning that the voice parts were there. He wrote the essentially the bass line and all of the vocal parts. And then the orchestration, there were little bits of sketches here and there, little notes and indications of what the parts and the instruments should have been doing. But Mozart was such a genius, he didn't have to write all of this out. He knew in his head exactly what everything was going to do. So he sketched the most important parts first with the thought that he would go back and write out what was in his head a little later. And so he essentially wrote little reminders to himself rather than full parts.
Sure. I could see how that would work. And he had an assistant, a colleague, another musician there, Franz Süssmayr.
Yes.
Who knew Mozart very well and took it upon himself to complete the piece.
So it turns out that Mozart's wife was actually very crafty. And she knew that if she didn't turn in a finished requiem, that she was not going to get paid. And so she searched out composers that were familiar with Mozart to finish the requiem. And Süssmayr actually had handwriting that was the most similar to Mozart's. And that was one of the reasons he was chosen to complete the requiem, if you can believe that. And this is actually, it's an important point to make, because for those of you who want to come sing with us on Thursday, we're doing Süssmayr's completion of this requiem. And there are a lot of other composers in the last few decades that have done their own completions. And so when you bring your own score, just check to make sure it has the name Süssmayr somewhere in there, and then you know you've got the right one. But yeah, Süssmayr finished the piece in this handwriting that was very similar to Mozart. There were a few movements that were actually missing. And people speculate that Süssmayr actually composed them himself, although the claim in that day was that, oh, no, these are from Mozart's sketches.
The people are going back to the original manuscript here to make all of these suppositions.
Yes,
right? 'Cause it
absolutely.
Exists.
It does. And in fact, we have a facsimile in Western Michigan's School of Music Library.
So I could go over there and turn the pages myself and look at a facsimile of Mozart's own.
You can. And what you'll see there, which is really cool too, is that the different composers that Mozart's wife hired to try to finish the piece, and I believe Süssmayr was the third, they actually, one of them scribbled in the manuscript. And so you can see another composer's handwriting in there as he tried to finish it and then said, "Sorry, lady, this is way too hard."
Well, that's a great backstory. Let's take a break and hear some of the music. I wondered if you would tell us where to begin.
I think we should start with the movement that Mozart completed fully, and that would be the Introitus.
Let's hear a recording we have from the WMUK Library of Neville Marriner leading the Academy and Chorus of St. Martin in the Fields.
Thank you.
I'm with Kim Adams, who will be conducting a summer sing of Mozart's Requiem on Thursday at 7 p.m., but registration starts at 6:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. It's a sort of free event. There's a recommended donation. There's also a score rental. If you bring your own score to Mozart's Requiem, then you're in. And you, if you have a tablet of some kind, there are ways to read the score online mm-hmm. as well. Kim, we just started with this opening movement and pretty much talked off air all the way through it. So so I don't have an immediate sense of what to say about this, the opening of the piece, but it's going to bring everyone together, certainly.
Oh, it certainly does. Well, and then it's followed by a really crazy, beautiful fugue in the Kyrie. And after that, we start the sequence in the Dies Irae, where that's the piece, I think, where you really feel that sense of angst and dread and judgment and pain. The article I had read by Davison mentioned earlier, it said Mozart was essentially paralyzed, at least on one side of his body, while he's writing the last dregs that he could get out of this requiem. And you really hear it in the Dies Irae, that sort of fury and anger.
Some people might be wondering, what's the hardest part in this requiem? What should I worry about before I get to...
Well, some of the things that we're going to just do a very brief rehearsal on is the Kyrie fugue that I mentioned.
Which is up after this introduction.
Yes. And then there is a fugue at the end, of course. The other thing that we'll be rehearsing is the Quam Olim Abrihe, and some of the rather disjunct vocal passages that accompany that. There's a lot of imitation in that section, and so we'll make sure that we have all of that set so that when we do our run, everybody feels comfortable.
Well, that's good. Is there any chance that if something gets completely off, that you would just stop and we'd start from the top of the movement again?
Well, we certainly could. I don't anticipate that. We will have student section leaders in each section. So we have some of our best singers, undergraduate students from Western Michigan University, anchoring each section. So there should be at least one person on every part that can keep us going and get us through. And I think that it'll be nice, too, for people who haven't sung the piece to have and feel that sense of support.
Conversely, if one of the movements is so awesome and so cool, would you do it again?
Absolutely. And I can't tell you how many times we've given concerts at Western, and I thought, well, I just want to do that again. I almost did it this past April.
For what piece?
It was Nistet's O Krux at the University Chorale Concert in April. And when we finished that piece, as the applause started, I thought to myself, nope, want to do it again. Got to do this again. Felt too good. Had too much fun. And the audience seemed really into the piece. And I felt that they would have enjoyed hearing it twice, too. But we didn't. Instead, we moved on to the Bach cantata that we'd programmed.
You stuck with concert order.
We sure did.
Well, that may or may not happen on Thursday. What about the length of the sing itself? How long do you think it will take?
It will take no longer than an hour and a half. As I mentioned, we'll do a brief rehearsal. It'll start with a warm-up and then followed by about 20 minutes of just working through some of the tough passages. And then at 7:30, we'll take a brief break and a stretch and then start our sing through no later than 7:45, which puts us out at 8:30 at the latest.
You know, I want, unless there's a double, unless you repeat some parts that were so,
header, yeah.
So fun. I meant to mention this earlier. This is very akin to an event that's held every year at First Congregational Church, supported by the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music, and that's the Messiah Sing. Mm-hmm. So some of the people who are used to how that works could also enjoy themselves for the Mozart Sing as well.
Absolutely.
But it wouldn't be the Messiah, it'd be Mozart, which would be a nice change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have plans to do this again?
We do. We're going to do two summer sings this summer. So we have Mozart on June 9th, which is a Thursday, And then at the end of July, on Wednesday, July 27th, we'll be doing a Sing of Foray Requiem.
The Foray. So, again, a familiar piece. I've had four interviews about Foray this year.
You're kidding.
There's Battle Creek. There's two in Kalamazoo. So three.
Wonderful.
Yeah, three. So here's the fourth.
Well, I would say that the reason we chose these two pieces are because they are, first of all, so well known, so that they work perfectly for a community sing. But two, because these are some of the greatest pieces in the repertoire. I decided to program Mozart and Fauré, too, because they contrast so much. Whereas we talked about the angst in Mozart's Requiem, Fauré's Requiem is so much about healing and grace and light and transcendence. To me, Fauré Requiem, the one word to describe it would be transcendent.
You also, I love the phrase you used about gracious on one's actual instrument, on your voice, their gracious singing.
Yes.
Is that true of both?
It is true
pieces?
Of both. Fauré is a beautiful sing as well. It feels good. You've got places to breathe. You have text that works beautifully inside your mouth. It's just a really wonderful piece to sing through, and it's got some excellent solo opportunities too.
And there's another great advantage. This is the same this is a lot of the same text, right? Mm-hmm. We're singing both in Latin.
Yes.
And if you've sung one Requiem, you have a good heads up on a lot of the rest.
Absolutely. One thing to think about when you're programming in foreign languages is the amount of time it takes to learn a foreign language. So the fact that we're doing both pieces in the same Latin text is I think helpful for everybody who's going to show up and do this.
What are some other pieces you thought about before, deciding on these two?
Well, I thought about doing a program where we feature opera singers from around the community and have the community sing be opera choruses, some of the most famous opera choruses. Mm-hmm. And, that is not off the table for future years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I've thought about doing a folk song community sing and putting together a nice little packet of pieces for people. One of the other great pieces that works really well for this kind of event is doing Elijah excerpts. And we had actually just performed Elijah last year, so there are a lot of people that would know the piece.
Kim, since it's been a few months since I saw you, may I ask you about, what your choirs and the people who work in the choir area at Western kind of achieved in the last year and what you're looking forward to?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we gave a great year of performances, and we had a very busy schedule this year. University Chorale was selected to perform at three different music conferences, the State American Choral Directors Association Conference, the Michigan Music Conference, and the regional ACDA conference as well. Cantus Femina, or Women's Chorus, also performed at ACDA Regional in Chicago, and that made us the only college in this particular region of the Midwest to have two choirs featured at this conference. So Western Michigan University is a very special place for choral singing. Gold Company gave an unbelievable performance at Miller Show and performed all over the state and out of the country, even in Canada. Collegium had some wonderful performances. We did quite a lot this year. One of the things that I'm most excited about that's actually going to be happening in the next week, aside from the Summer Sing, is that we are also releasing another album by the Western Michigan University Chorale. And so we're doing a release on June 9th, which is the Summer Sing. And our new album is titled Ex Corde, which means from the heart. And that's how we approach our choral singing at Western, is that it should be beautiful, but it needs to be from a place of sincerity and love and inspiration. It needs to be from the heart.
That is sometimes hard with a student who's got so much to worry about, grades and stress and all of that, to be training for music, sure, but then to be asked to really be present and make that happen even in daily practice is hard. It's so much easier to phone it in. Is that the phrase?
Yeah. Well, though, I think I'm actually writing an article about this right now. It's that as a student, anytime you make a choice, to back off or to phone it in, that's essentially a choice you will regret later when you become a professional. When I think about the papers that I phoned in, I regret that now because almost all of the knowledge that I skipped or tried to gloss past came back to bite me in the butt as an adult. And one thing that I love about the students at Western is that they really don't back off. They're in it. They come into choir every day and they just bring it. And one of the things you'll hear, and I brought a preview track to play either now or a little later in the hour, from this album, you'll hear that they bring it. You can't make this kind of music and sing with this kind of quality without throwing your whole heart and soul into it. And that's why we chose the title we did. And also, it's taken from one of the pieces on the album. We recorded Durafle's Ubi Caritas, and the words ex corde, meaning from the heart, are located square in the middle of that piece. And so we found text to reference from the music we recorded and then recorded the whole album. And it is it's a full CD of unaccompanied works for choir. And we're really, really excited to release this. This has been in the works since 2013.
Well, I think it's a good time now, actually, to hear some of the music from this new recording, Ex Corde, From the Heart, from the Western Michigan University Choirs. New music from the Western Michigan University. Is it the University Chorale?
Yes, University Chorale.
What was the name of that piece?
And that was Leia Garland by Pearsall.
And who's, I don't know who Pearsall is.
So this is a actually romantic composer, even though the piece sounds in the Renaissance style. This is a romantic era British composer.
So if you just tuned in during the music, my guest is conductor Kim Adams, who is director of choral activities at Western Michigan University. And this is a new CD, not quite yet available, but it will be available next week.
It will be available as of June 9th, and we'll be selling it at our Summer Sing.
Terrific. So you can pick up a copy then. May I say, that was some spectacular singing. With a piece that ethereal and graceful, I heard no effort, like no try during that. And as you were talking about keeping the kids in the present and trying not to think of music as technical experience, but to feel it, that was quite abundantly evident, I think, in that recording.
Recording this particular piece is the perfect example of that needing to be in the moment and needing to be expressive. This particular track on the recording was not edited at all. It was one single take from start to finish, and as we were singing through it, we felt it. And after we finished that take, we stopped recording the piece because that was it, and we just knew it. So that's, I think, a huge accomplishment in this day and age where things can be spliced within an inch of their lives, that we have this track with absolutely nothing that we did to it short of sing it.
That made your job as producer a little easier.
It sure did. It sure did. But I've got great students in this choir, and they sing so beautifully.
What else can you tell me about the new recording? What other selections?
Well, so this is an entirely unaccompanied recording, and it features the University Chorale from start to finish. On two different ears, so you'll actually hear different singers on different tracks, because as is the case in the academic world, students graduate. And so we have some folk songs on there, some sacred songs. We've got a beautiful recording of Shenandoah, the James Erb version. And that was so much fun to record. The piece is a classic. And in fact, most choral nerds are familiar with this version.
Oh, okay. Well, here I am able to cue it up here.
Wonderful.
Although I don't have yet the CD, I'm still using files that you have online. Mm-hmm. But the hard copy will be at the Summer Sing on Thursday next.
Yes, it will be.
Okay. Let's hear Shenandoah. And which choir is this again?
This is the Western Michigan University Chorale.
It's a university chorale. My guest is Kim Adams, who directs this ensemble and is director of choral studies at Western Choral Activities at Western Michigan University. Kim, I have to ask, where was this recorded? It's a beautiful sounding space.
This was recorded at Holy Family Chapel over with the Sisters of St. Joseph on Nazareth Road. It's an incredible space.
How long did it take you to find that? I mean, it's kind of hidden. It's a little known gem, I think.
I think it is a little known gem. I visited a lot of different churches around Kalamazoo. We have a lot of great acoustics and great spaces here. That space is really good for recording because it's set back from the road just a little bit. It has an HVAC system you can turn off, and then the acoustic is, I think, the best part because it's warm and round and has a good amount of ring and reverb, but it doesn't at all obscure what it is that you're singing. Sometimes spaces can have almost a little too much ring and you can't hear the words. And I think that space is really nice. And too, it's a lovely space for performances.
You've used the word gracious a couple times this hour, and I just love the sense of what that means in terms of sound and space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has a proportion to it at Holy Family Chapel that seems intimate and yet has that big enough space to hear, to let things ring, as you said.
Absolutely.
So the entire recording made at Holy Family Chapel?
Yep, the entire recording. We recorded over 2 years and then edited designed. We had our design studio at Western Michigan University do all of the artwork for the album. And so we've been working on this sort of slowly over time. And the album features pieces by Durafley and Poulenc. And then we also included a few selections from Hugo Distler's Totentanz, featuring Martha Council Vargas on flute. And let's see, we've also got Bruckner on there and a world premiere recording of a piece called The Suffering Servant by Ryan Keebaugh. Mm. So it's going to be a really beautiful listen.
You know, I got to admit, I don't think I could tell the difference between the university chorale and a professional choir in our record library. If there's much of a difference, it's very, very subtle. I think it's safe to say that, you know, singing on this level is world class.
Thank you so much. That's a really lovely compliment.
Can you hear the difference?
You know, I'm partial to my singers. Yeah. I love my students best. So some of the singers that you just heard on those two pieces are actually going to be joining us for the Summer Sing this Thursday. And in fact, I believe both of our soprano soloists were featured on this album, and our alto soloist as well, and some of the section leaders that are going to be out and singing in the chorus were also involved in this recording process, which is not just fun, but an immensely important educational opportunity, too.
I remember when your predecessor, James Bass, recorded the Monteverdi Vespers also at Holy Family Chapel.
Yes.
And the album surprised everyone by going to number one on iTunes in the classical charts. And this could happen again if the word gets out with this beautiful choral album, which is going to be available at the Summer Sing next Thursday. Registration begins at 6:30, and the sing and quick rehearsal at 7, and then we launch right into the Requiem. This Summer Sing will be repeated on July 27th, a Wednesday. Same again, 6:30 for registration and 7 o'clock to sing. And it's the Fauré Requiem, which many people may be familiar with. And Kim, any other thing? Are you going off to festivals or getaways this summer at all?
Oh, well, I hope to. I will be doing a little bit of traveling. I'll be conducting at our summer music camp seminar for high school students. And so I'll be directing the choir there and working with the chamber music program. And doing a lot of repertoire planning and score study and enjoying Kalamazoo.
Are you still evaluating the next class of students coming in for September?
At this point, they're all coming on in, and I can't wait to meet them, those that I haven't met already.
Fantastic. Well, I hope you'll pick out a couple more things to hear in the Mozart for the end of the hour here before you go.
Well, I think we have got to do the Dies Irae. It is just an iconic movement from this piece. If you're driving while listening to this, keep the foot off the gas pedal. I've been pulled over to this one before.
Thank you, Kim.